Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Before we get into the topic of today, I just want to say a quick announcement. So there's, for this wave of intakes for the 10 weeks Inner Transformation Healing Mother Wounds one-on-one program, there's only two spaces left. And then the next intake is probably going to be towards the end of March, possibly the beginning of April. So if you are interested, you can send me an email. The contact, my email is in the description of the episode, as always. So as I mentioned before, I am working on a webpage for the program, and that will come. But for now, you can send me an email if you're interested, and I'll send you the details about it. And then we can take it from there. With that said, so today we're talking about how to overcome that impulse to ring your narcissistic mother, even when you know that that's not actually going to be very helpful for you. And this comes from a question, an email I received after one of the recent episodes by a listener. She was surprised by my mentioning of the impulse to phone our mother when anything happens, really. This had not occurred to her as being an issue until she heard it mentioned in my episode, in one of the episodes. So she asked if this happens because as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we do not trust ourselves to deal with the situation without consulting our mother. So first of all, thank you so much for your questions. And that's to everyone. It truly supports me in serving you in the best possible way when I hear what is live in your experience and what you need clarity on. So thank you. Then I want to say, if ringing your mother or contacting her in whatever way you do when something happens in your life has been truly helpful so far for you and has no negative consequences on your life at all, then of course this is not an issue for you. So keep going as you are. You know, we all have our unique experience in here, and maybe something I mentioned might actually be a real big issue for someone, but it might not be for someone else at all. So if this is not something that is creating problems for you in your life, then just keep going. However, if after contacting your mother about something you need support with, you feel put down, even more stressed than before, maybe you feel useless, hopeless, upset in any ways that has you not functioning afterwards, or you feel ashamed, then there might be something there worth exploring. Also, if you feel like you can't make any decisions in your life without consulting your mother, or if you feel guilty if you do something without asking your mother first, okay? So in these cases, again, it may be worth exploring. Okay, that impulse, if you're unable to make a decision in your own life and you have that need, that pull to actually contact your mother for everything, okay, that might be worth exploring. And the guilt, I've been there, just decided to do something and then this pang of guilt and this fear that maybe I did it wrong and maybe I should have consulted my mother first. Okay, those are patterns that are not helpful. Okay, this is where these patterns might actually be affecting your everyday life more than you've been aware so far. So in this episode, I'm going to speak specifically to the impulse of consulting your mother, whether via phone call or even going to her altogether for a visit or asking her to come over when something challenging happens in your life. Okay, this is what this episode is about. The same impulse can happen also when something good is going on, but the dynamics behind that pattern, although similar, need to be addressed separately. So let me know if an episode on this other topic could be useful. An episode on what about the impulse of celebrating with my mother, wanting to contact her when something good happens, but then actually feeling horrible afterwards. Let me know if this is something that would be interesting. You can let me know your experience about it. Again, you can send me an email. But back to today's topic. So in my personal experience, and I want to share a little bit about that, I felt I had to contact my mother for everything, okay? Everything. For years, I was not aware how badly I was affected by her judgment, opinions, put downs, nasty comments, and so on. I would listen to it all, and I would believe she was supporting me in the best way possible. And I would feel horrible, horribly bad about myself afterwards for weeks. Later in life, I realized how enmeshed I was, how I could not make the simplest decision without asking my mother first. I would even go as far as to tell my husband, "Oh, let's wait to decide on this. You know, I'll ring mom and hear what she thinks," which caused a lot of contrast within my relationship as well, as you can imagine. So that has been my experience, and it has affected my life. And for a long time, I didn't know. I thought it was a normal thing. Like, I thought it was just, that's what you do. I mean, something happens and you ring your mom because that's just what a mother is there for. And she had ways to make me feel like that was the most natural thing to do. She presented herself as the one and only person that could understand me, the one and only person that knew, the one and only person that could give me real advices, while everyone else, she would tell me directly that everyone else was just there for other reasons, like their own reasons, but she was selflessly giving me her advices, and all the while wrapping them up with a heap of put downs and comments that actually just had me feeling like really hopeless, really useless, really unable, really faulty. Afterwards, for a long, long time, like weeks, weeks, and weeks after every call. So that's why I wanted to share this with you. Maybe you can relate with that, or I'm sure you have your own version, because it's going to be unique to you and your mother and the experience you have within that relationship, your relationship. So is it normal? Is it a normal thing to want to go to your mother when something happens? This was one of the questions I was asked. I've addressed the whole concept of normal in inverted bracket in the previous episode, so I won't go into it again. But I will use the word natural instead of normal. Okay, so is it natural to want to contact your mother when something happens? For a child to go to her mother when something happens, something that hurts or that she doesn't yet fully understand, it's completely natural. It's also natural for a mother to offer comforting words and touch, like an embrace, and to also offer age-appropriate ways to support the child, learning from the experience and learning to regulate and learning to develop her own compass, so to gain wisdom and experience through what just happened. When this happens in childhood, as a grown-up, the daughter will have developed a grounded sense of self, her own identity, a strong connection with her gut feeling and inner wisdom, and also the healthy humility to seek out an elder's advice at times of need. So all of this is perfectly natural, because we're not meant to do it all on our own all the time, and having elders who support us is a precious gift. And to just the elder is someone, it mightn't necessarily be an older person by age, but it is someone that has way more years of experience, or way more experience on some particular topic that we might seek support with. So that's a precious, precious thing to have. Now, none of this actually happens with a narcissistic mother. When a child needs help and support, or when she's going through emotions she hasn't yet the words to describe, a narcissistic mother will either reject, shame, put down, laugh and ridicule, or even smother and disempower. Because, like, overcaring is another way a narcissistic mother can go at it, especially the covert type. You know, make it seem like she's way, way so, like, she's so good and she's caring so much, but actually, it's only because of her own needs. That's what she's truly caring for, okay? Let me give you an example. Maybe you didn't want to eat as a child and you had a tantrum. Okay, you didn't want to eat your broccoli. No child wants to eat her broccoli, so that works. And you had a tantrum. So a narcissistic mother might do one of the following things. She might leave you, go hungry, and pretend it's a lesson for you. You know, this is the food I'm serving you. It's serving you. You're getting no other food until you're finished this. Note that food is one of the main vehicles for attachment needs. Okay, so taking away your attachment as punishment for something you didn't have words to fully articulate is a traumatic experience for a child. So although this is advised in some parenting guidance by some people, it's actually very traumatic for the child. Another way she could go about it, she could force feed you till you're sick. This was my personal experience. And I only started enjoying food again very, very recently. Or she could tell you to stop being such a bad child, or compare you to your sister, maybe, who is eating so well. She's like the greatest girl. She's eating so well, and look at you throwing tantrums. Or tell you you must do as you're told, as your mother knows better. That's it. Or she could place a label on you of some food intolerance, so she can have a story to tell of how much she sacrifices for you and how great a mother she is. Now, on this part, please refrain to send me nasty comments about your food intolerances. I know that in cases it is a real thing and I completely respect it. But I've had many clients who believed to be intolerant to a lot of foods since young, and once free from their mother's influence, they realized they could eat what they wanted. So these are the cases I'm speaking to, and I also was one of them. There's plenty of foods that I've avoided because of my mother told me to, and made a story out of it, and I can now eat and be 100% fine with, after a lot of inner work, of course, but I'm fine with it. So I'm not talking about people that actually have intolerances, but I'm talking about when we believe we do because we've been told a story from a young age. So this is only an example. Feel into your own experience and into how this may have been for you in your own life, okay? Bottom line is, none of the above reactions to a child throwing a tantrum in front of food are validating, loving, or empowering. The narcissistic mother doesn't take the time to sit down and actually listen. Listen not only to words. If the child is too small to have words to describe what she feels, there'll be other ways to listen. You know, a mother is attuned, and a mother that is not a narcissistic mother is attuned with her child, and she will listen with her full body, with all her senses, with her energy. And she will provide that safety and that understanding and nurturing that will support a child through the tantrum and then move forward and gain experience. So whether this happened to you with food or in any other situation, this may be at the root of patterns still active in your system today, like the need to contact your mother when something challenging happens to you. Okay, the aim of a parent should be to raise independent, confident individuals connected to their own gut feeling and inner wisdom, gradually developing their own identity as they grow. Okay, but narcissistic mothers don't do that at all. They actually stifle the natural development of her child's identity. And how do they do that? By neglect, rejection, guilt tripping every time you try to have your own take on a situation, righteousness, asserting that she's your mother, so she always knows best, put downs, gaslighting and manipulation, punishment when you try to go with your own initiative. And it doesn't matter if your own initiative was actually wrong, okay? Mistakes are actually part of gaining experience and wisdom. But still, you get punished. Public ridicule and shaming. Another way is only praising what she values and what makes her look good. And she can take credit for your successes, but not actually being attuned with what actually is good for you for real. And victimhood, that's another way. So all of it aimed at keeping you enmeshed with her and needing her to fulfill her emotional needs. Okay, a narcissistic mother wants to be needed. And this can still happen at a distance too. That's important to note. I've been no contact for over 2 years, and the impulse to call can still come. And also the pattern of hopelessness and the why can't I just ring my mother like a normal person would do? Okay? So even after I realized, I became aware that ringing my mother for, and I'm talking about ringing because I'm at a big distance away. There's like half Europe between myself and my mom at the moment, so I have to phone. But this could be like, if she's closer to you, could be like going for a visit or call her over or stuff like that, or messaging, whatever way you contact your mother. So even after I realized that contacting my mother was not a good idea because it made me feel really bad afterwards, and I became really aware of the consequences, this other thing came in, this other pattern started, which was the sort of like a victim energy, really, of, oh, why can't I just ring my mother like a normal person would do? It's so miserable that I can't do that and everyone else can. Poor me. Okay? And again with the word normal, okay? Again, just you can listen to the previous episode to go into what normal, how normal is such an illusion. So if you feel any of this, I get it. I really do get it. What is actually happening inside of us when we feel the impulse to call our mother on anything? What is it? Sometimes even against our better judgment. What's that impulse? So that inner child who did not receive the natural support she deserved in childhood, but who was actually traumatized by an emotionally unavailable mother, takes the driving seat. Okay? The inner child is still seeking that connection she never had. She is still looking for validation. She still needs confirmation and affirmation. Is that wrong? No, it isn't. It's simply the result of experiencing maternal narcissism. That's what you're experiencing. That's all it is. You're not wrong for it. The natural development of the inner self was stifled, and she still needs all of that now. When the inner child is in the driving seat, she doesn't care much for the consequences. You know, she doesn't care if actually afterwards you're gonna feel like crap for weeks after a phone call with your mother. She doesn't care. She just wants to recreate the situations that hurt and the hurter over and over, reenacting the trauma until it's resolved. Okay? That's what the inner child is trying to do. I'm gonna go through this pain again and again and again until we can sort this. This is how trauma reenactment works. There's tons of studies on this. Only it can't possibly be resolved this way. You're only keeping the cycle of pain going. But of course, this is like what we say rationally, but the other stuff is completely irrational. It works in the background, in the subconscious. It's, until we bring awareness to it, we don't know we're doing this. So I get emails by so many of you that feel so down after calling their mother for stuff, or who feel so down because they now know they can't call and it's not, and it's, they know it's not helpful to call, but they still feel the injustice of it and they feel bad about it. And as I said, I get that. I get that. That's like, I get that you feel like that. That's nothing else to add to that because I felt like that for so long. So I truly, truly get it. So if this is you, I want you to know that you're not alone. None of it is your fault. Okay, that's important. None of it is your fault. And you're not silly for keeping on calling even if you know it hurts you. Okay, there's nothing wrong with you. Because said like that, it can make you feel like, God, I'm such a stupid person because I know it's bad for me and yet I keep doing it. It's not. It's that impulse to reenact the trauma. It's that impulse to try and recreate the situation so that eventually it will be fixed. And it's a subconscious drive. So it's not stupid. It's not silly. That's just what's happening. It's just a mechanism. And once you realize it's a mechanism, then we can shift it. Okay? That's. You become response able, you become able to choose what to do next. So, as I said, this is a pattern, and as a pattern, it can be shifted. And you can open a new pathway, one of trust in yourself and of connection with your inner wisdom. Okay, rather than being dependent on your mother's judgment and opinions and all of that and having to go through that pain over and over and over again for everything that happens in your life, you can actually open a new pathway where you trust your inner wisdom. You reconnect with that inner wisdom, because trauma is a disconnection from self, a disconnection from your gut feeling and your inner wisdom. So as you process and you go through releasing the trauma that is in your body, this is what we do in the one-on-one program, by the way, very, very personalized to you, then you can open this pathway of reconnecting with your guidance system, with your inner self. And then you're going to feel that impulse to actually want to contact your mother and ask her for anything way, way less. And that's, I know I've mentioned that after 2.5 years of no contact and years of working on this, I still get that impulse. I do. But it's way, way less than I used to. That was on anything. Now, like, it has to be, it catches me, like, I really need to be, like, I don't know, in a really difficult moment, a lot of things happening at the same time, and maybe I don't know, I was sick for a few days, so I couldn't do my practices, and whatever, and then, oh, it hits me, and I'm like, I pause for a couple of breaths, and then I go, yeah, no, that's nonsense, I'm not gonna ring my mother, thank you very much, inner child, go back in your seat, awesome. And let's keep going. I'll find a solution. You know, it does shift. And it's not that you're working on fixing something, but you are working on reopening this pathway of connection with yourself. And the other one falls away as a side effect. Like, it's just, you're going to find that you're not going to need to do that often anymore. And the impulse is not going to be there. Because, so even if you're no contact already and you're still getting that impulse of wanting and you're feeling bad that you can't, and there's this battle inside of you all the time, and you're winning it because you're no contact, you're not going with it, but the battle is there and it's strong. The more you open up a pathway of connecting with yourself, the more you work to release and let go of the trauma that is in your system, the less that impulse is going to be strong. It's actually just going to shift by itself, okay? So how is all of this going to happen? The first step, here's 5 steps for you. The first step is awareness, okay? This is what you're doing by listening to this episode. You know, maybe up until this point, you didn't think this was an issue at all. You thought that's just what a mother-daughter relationship is about. Something challenging happens, you just ring. And the fact that you feel like crap afterwards is just because you're faulty and bad and you just accepted that, but you didn't think it was an issue. Well, now you're gaining awareness. Or if you knew it was an issue, now you know more about it. So becoming aware of the pattern is the first step. You can't change something that is a blind spot for you, meaning that you don't know it's happening. Okay, if we don't know, if we're not aware of it, we can't change it. So the minute you become aware of it, now you have a response ability, as in you're able to respond to what's happening. And you can change how you respond. The second step is to learn to mother yourself, meaning learning to recognize when the inner child is in the driving seat and gently take her by the hand and take back control without judging or shaming that part of you. Okay, the inner child and inner mother energy are both within you, and the inner child is not wrong for doing what she does. She only needs your love and guidance. She needs the love and guidance that she didn't receive when you were actually small. Okay, when you were actually a child. It wasn't just your inner child, you were a child, and your mother was not loving and nurturing and offering guidance. So the inner child now, it has been lacking that all her life, and all she needs is you to become for her the mother that you supposedly should have had. Okay? Number 3, slow down. When something happens that seems too big to handle, remember that you don't need to rush into it. Okay, that's where the impulse of calling your mother comes in, because you're rushing into it and then you're not grounded, of course. I get it. I wasn't. I'm not always. And that impulse comes in and then takes over. Okay, so slow down, breathe, use tools of self-regulation, and then take the next step. Okay, no matter how small this next step seem, just take the next step. And then again, repeat the process. Keep slowing down, take a breath, use the tools you need, and take one more step and repeat and keep going. By breaking it into steps, you can do anything, okay? Like to teach myself how to enjoy food again, for example, I literally broke it down into one mouthful at a time. Like genuinely, you can break anything into small steps. If you are thinking about, you have like 10 things that came, that your car broke, your fridge broke, I don't know what else, like you have a cow, your child is sick, and you have issues at the office, and it's all happening at the same time. If you look at the bigger picture, you're gonna feel overwhelmed, it's gonna be too much, you're gonna feel hopeless, and all those patterns and the inner critic voice of your mother is gonna shout at you, like it's gonna be messy. If you just slow down, take a breath, and then do the first step. And then repeat. You can break everything into steps, and that allows you to get to the end of it and go, wow, how much I've accomplished today. It's amazing. Okay? Only by doing that. Fourth step, the story you tell. Okay? Remember that the story of you being unable, faulty, incapable, useless, a bad child, and whatever other labels your mother gave you growing up, it's a story you've been told. It's not the truth. That's your mother's story, okay? I know she made it sound like the truth, but it is not the truth. Tell a different story. You're in charge of who you are and of your growth right now. You are so much more than what you've been told. And there is a part of you that knows that. I know there is a part of you in there. A part, like I'd say, I know that a lot of you now are nodding. Okay? That's that part. It's that part in you that knows that you are in charge right now. The practice is to reconnect with that part every day and make it the new story. Your story. You are in charge of what story you write about yourself from this moment on. Doesn't matter that you didn't feel in charge until yesterday. Whatever. That's okay. That's fine. There's no shame in that. But like from now, you are in charge of what story you tell about yourself. Step number five, find a support network that feels safe and that you can trust, okay? A mentor, an elder, and as I said, not necessarily by age, but by experience, who support you by empowering you. Someone who can model healthy mother energy for you to support you reconnecting with the one within you. I needed that. Oh my God, I needed that. When someone told me, oh, you need to learn to mother yourself, I was like, huh? How the hell am I meant to learn how to mother myself? I haven't the first idea how to mother anything. Like, my mother didn't model anything for me. Like, well, she modeled what not to do. That's the start. But I have no idea about what to do. So how am I meant to even mother myself? I was so resistant to this whole inner child, inner mother sort of stuff. I literally, when I first came across it, I was like, this is so not for me. And then I found someone that really was able to support me, make me understand it, and so lovingly modeled what mother energy is about. And that was like a light bulb moment, like not just a light bulb, like mentally, but a full body light bulb moment. Like, yeah, okay, I now get that. So that's what I'm meant to do with myself. So finding the right support is key. Okay, so I just want to recap your steps. These five steps. Awareness is the first. Learn to mother yourself. Slow down. Tell a different story about yourself. And find the right support for you, someone modeling that mother energy. So how is all of this going to help you not following the impulse of ringing your mother anymore? It's because by following these steps, again, you might still be ringing your mother for a time as you're practicing this. You might still fall into that pattern, and it might happen again and again, or you might feel that impulse quite strongly, or you might beat yourself up for feeling the impulse and all of that. That doesn't mean that this is not working. But by going through with this process and doing these steps again and again and again, you're going to catch that impulse quicker every time. And you're also going to start building that connection with yourself, with your capacity, your own strength, your own gut feeling, your own inner wisdom, being able to trust that you're able to do things. You don't need your mother. She told you you needed her. She told you you are not capable. She made you feel small all your life, but you're not small. You're a full-grown, powerful woman now, and you're absolutely able to take control of your life. And that inner child that has suffered, she's still there, and she will need your support, of course. But you're able to do that. I know you are. I absolutely know you are. And again, if you need support, that's what this service is here for. There's the women's circles, of course, going. And also there's, as I mentioned, two spaces still available within the intake of the one-on-one program. So you can contact me. And if you have questions about it, I will be happy to answer. And with that, I'm sending you lots of love. Bye for now.